With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to November's edition of the EvoStick Division 1 show, a dedicated podcast to the Northern Premier League Division 1 North and South. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this month's edition, we'll be hearing from Spennymoor Town and Stocksbridge Park Steels on their chances in the FA Trophy this weekend. And of course, we'll be having our regular league catch-up with your friends and mine, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian and Staffordshire Football Show's very own Robin Gray. All of that and a little bit more on this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. So welcome everybody to this month's Division 1 show. Coming up, we've got interviews with the manager at Spennymoor Town, with the chairman at Stocksbridge Park Steels, and of course, Andrew Simpson. But let's start things off with Division 1 South. And there's only one place we can turn to, dear listener, for all things Division 1 South. It's the Staffordshire Football Show's very own on Not FM. It's Robin Gray. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Very well, Ben. And yourself?
No, I'm not too bad. I've got a bit of backache, but I can't complain.
Oh, dear.
I know. It's because it's cold. I slept with a blanket just off my shoulder and it's all gone horribly wrong. Plus, when you get over 30, Robin, stuff starts to go wrong. Okay, moving on then. Let's start things off with the team at the top very briefly, because it's getting to the stage now where you can't compliment them enough. Stafford Rangers still out in front. However, I'm going to start things off though with Colville Town, who are now second, 6 points behind Stafford Rangers with a game in hand.
Well, the gap's closed up, hasn't it? And that's credit to Colville. I mean, they had a wonderful win at Tiverdale, and Jake Woolley again, you know, scoring for them. And like you say, it does get a bit repetitive because it's been kind of seeing whether anybody can catch up with Stafford. But in fairness to Colville, that defensive record that they possess so well in the league, I think it's 13 goals. I mean, they have conceded a few more goals recently, but they're still getting wins, and that's the main thing. And a great result for them. And of course, yeah, you know, Stafford have had to keep on, you know, keep on the guard as such. They have had a couple of blips, but it was always going to happen. You know, they're not going to win every game this season, believe it or not. And Ben Hazley scoring two for them is a major confidence booster for him at Loughborough, and a good win for them. So, like I say, I still think that Stafford are in control, but Colville are certainly, you know, putting the pressure on there. And they've been a team that have been around there the last three or four seasons now. And you hope that perhaps, you know, for them, that they have another successful run at it.
I remember speaking to one of their officials. I think it was the match reporter who also was drummer boy. I think that was Colville. all the interviews, they merged into one in my mind at the moment. But they are a club who quite fancy the idea of going up, and they're giving it a good shout. In third place at the moment, we've got Shorelane Aquaforce. Now, Shorelane Aquaforce, they're 7 points off the lead. However, they have two games in hand over Stafford Rangers. So it's actually quite tight up at the top if all these games in hand are won. But then again, you have to win them. But Shorelane still in this, aren't they?
You know, you look at it and you'd have to say, well, surely they're going to kind of slow down at one point. But they've just kept on going, haven't they? They kept on winning, kept on scoring goals. I was seeing that they beat us at Kidsgo 5-3 you know, and they had that wonderful run that stretched to six games without conceding a goal, which was absolutely magnificent. So it's a good time for them. And like I say, if they keep on winning, then you don't know, do you? Ben, we saw this with the teams last season, and fair play to them.
So it's looking like in late November, going into December, that it's a three horse race at this moment in time. Now, obviously, there could be late charges and that kind of thing that can quite easily happen. But for journalistic purposes, that's the narrative that we're going with on this month's show. Below that, we've got Spalding United. They're only 3 points off Shorelane Aquaforce, but they have played a game more. Spalding United, though, they're kind of like safe in the playoffs, if you know what I mean. They're 4 points clear of Market Drayton Town, and Spalding United have a game in hand. So, Spalding, do you think they're comfortable in the playoffs this season, or what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I say, it's not like that they've had blips as such, because they've been doing very well. I think they've just won this week. I think I forget who it was against. I think it was Colville they beat. So that they're still winning, and like I say, after last season, it was about for them, could they replicate that success of doing so well in the first season in the division? And now we are seeing that teams that are coming up from divisions below are making this league a better league, I think, mm-hmm. as such. Because maybe not, I wouldn't like to, you know, quote budgets because I don't know that sort of thing, but it is with better players, with good budgets behind them, and it's kind of blowing the league, and it's making it a better quality league. Our manager at Kidsco, Pete Ward, said it would be a better league this season, and he's right, because you look, like I say, with the playoff race is still as wide open as anything, and when you look at, like I say, I mean, Mark Drayton are also in there,
yes.
And it does show how much the league's getting better, because Mark Drayton toyed with relegation for the last two seasons, and yet this season they're up in fifth. So it's quite staggering, really, to see how things change, and obviously how, you know, I mean, even Kidsgrove, another example who've improved this season, and teams that it's almost, I wouldn't like to say flipped on itself, but the league is certainly changing, isn't it, Ben? I think that, you know, the structure of it, which is good.
And we should say, I think all this comes about from lazy punditry from the MPL show, the mother show of these podcasts. It was that. I think, because you only have to look at how well Sutton Coldfield Town have adapted to the Premier Division to realise that actually it is a strong league after all. So and Michelob as well. Michelob have had a good start, and I think it all boils down from Belper when they were in the Premier Division. They had a bad season, and that's kind of what's tinged Division One South. But like you say, it's strong. They proved it in the FA Trophy. They proved it in the early rounds of the FA Cup, and they proved it in the Dudeson that there is quality in this league.
Yeah, and I think like you just say about Micklover and teams like that who've gone up Sutton Coldfield, there's a stereotype that kind of gets banded around in non-league football that First Division South players, or maybe North for that matter, I probably don't know enough about that division to say that, but, you know, like Shoreline Aquaforce now, if they're, from what other managers have said about them in the press, and from managers I spoke to have said about them, if they were in the league above, they would be a mid-table side up there. So, as that continues to spread, and more teams, I mean, people say non-league football, you know, it is in crisis with money-wise. Well, I suppose it doesn't go for everything, does it, in all steps of it? Because I think in the point of view that we're seeing at the moment, a lot of teams have got players that would be, you know, suited for the league above. I'm not saying that hasn't been the case in the past, but I think this season especially, we are seeing that shine through. And when teams that have been in the playoffs get knocked off the perch a little bit, like we're seeing with maybe Leek Town and Newcastle Town, I know Leek are only a few points outside, so that's harsh to say, but, you know, in terms of who are in the playoffs now compared to some teams who've dropped down the table, I think that'd be a fair comment to say that you know, the calibre of players coming into this division are much higher.
Now, the narrative we're going with for Division 1 South in November's Division 1 show is that it's a three-horse race up at the top. Spalding United have got that third playoff spot nailed at this moment. The final playoff spot, though, is a lot more difficult to call. We've got Market Drayton Town currently in fifth position with games in hand on Daventry Town on the same number of points. Then there's Basford United, just 1 point back. Then one win away, we've got Romulus, Sheffield, Leek Town, just a couple of points away, we've got Lincoln United, Stocksbridge Park Steels, Chase Town, Gresley, Goole, a couple of points back from that, we've got Kidsgrove Athletic. So it is awfully tight in that midfield pack, as we've shown in the NPL Premier Division. At this time of the season, it's anyone's game for that final playoff spot.
Yeah, it's staggering. It really is. I mean, I don't think I've seen it as wide open as this ever since I started covering non-league football across Staffordshire. So, in this league anyway. So, it is absolutely... it's as wide open as anything. I mean, you know, a lot of teams have obviously get distracted with the FA Trophy, the Dudeson Cup, the FA Cup in the early stage of the season. So, it kind of throws it into this, like we say, catch-up game. I mean, to think that there are six games between Stocksbridge Park Steels and Daventry is unreal. It really is. I mean, to think that, you know, that's how many games they've got to catch up. But like I say, I know our manager at Kidsgrove, a lot of teams actually although they're happy, of course they want an FA Trophy run. Of course they want an FA Cup run. Okay, maybe they don't all want to do some cup run, but they do actually want a run in the league, a run of league games just on its own, where they can maybe gain momentum and get themselves up there. And I think it actually, a contributing factor to the league table at the end of the season will be perhaps the teams who have managed to get a run of league games together, maybe, you know, beating the weather, or who maybe the teams who have gone out of cup competitions early will finish in their place. I'm not saying that will happen, but it could be a contributing factor, because you do need to a run of games where you can focus on one competition. You've got players available, players are playing well, players maybe know who they're playing, things like that. And I think that all contributes to it massively. But it's as wide open as saying that even, I suppose, Rugby Town in 19th place could still get in the playoffs. That won't surprise me at all, because it is, like you say, very wide open.
And just to say, before we move on to relegation, just to say, it is our intention here at the MPL show to glamorise the Dudeson beyond all belief. So, Division 1 South clubs, ignore what Robin just said about the Dudeson. The final is going to be on the radio, okay? So, if you want Swampy and Roy Sewell commentating on your match, then get to the final, people. Anyway, down the bottom end, in the Division 1 North, there's a team down the bottom, New Mills, currently on 0 points. It's pretty clear-cut, the relegation picture there, with regards to that particular club, I'm going to suggest. When it comes to Division 1 South, it is essentially now a three-horse race for those two final relegation spots.
Well, I mean, you know, it is, I think, now. I think rugby actually, before they played a lot of teams, a lot of people were saying, I know a lot of managers had said, that they are a good side, don't be underestimated by their league position. And I think maybe some teams went there with the attitude that they might have been, you know, looking at their league position. And I think they've got some really good results. It was league, they beat one of the top three clubs, I forget who it was now. But they've done really well to pick up some results in recent weeks. And they've adapted to the league well. They've got some good players there as well. Carlton again kind of flirted with relegation last season, but they've got last season they did pick up some good results towards the end of the season and had a bit of a turnaround, so it'd be interesting to see what they do there. Again, Tiverdale, from what I understand, haven't got a similar team to last season and have got a lot of younger players. Mm-hmm. So whether that's a restructuring from the club's point of view for them, that could be interesting to see what happens there. These teams have got to win, because you don't want to be too far away. Anything is possible, as we've seen with what we did at Kidsgrove last year, surviving from being absolutely, and when I say dead and buried, at this stage last season, there was not a cat in hell's chance that Kidsgrove were going to stay up. And so that no one's could adrift to that extent yet. So I think there's hope for all of them. Again, Loughborough, not a bad side, but this is what I mean. I mean, you look at the final three teams there, and you wouldn't really expect them to be there, I don't think.
No, really? they're quite substantial names. But I was going to suggest the thing that Carlton Town appear to have over the other two sides at this moment is a better defence. I mean, Tiverdale's conceded 40 goals in 19 matches. Loughborough Dynamo have conceded 44 in 18 matches. So they've scored more goals, admittedly, but only by a couple more. So it's going to be interesting over the winter period about how all that settles down. My money's on a team that we've not even mentioned, just spiralling down there. That's what my money's on. Anyway, while I've got you on, there is a kind of, how can I put this, a fixture pile-up about to happen with the FA Trophy involving a side which you're involved with at Kidsgrove Athletic. They're meant to be playing Marine, is it tonight, on Wednesday, as we record this?
Well, this is the problem. it's been quite an interesting week. I mean, we drew the game and then we were meant to play it last Tuesday. So shall I put that into day terms for the listeners? That would have been the 17th of November.
Yes.
And then it got moved to this Tuesday, and we usually like to play our home. In fact, it wasn't the 17th. It was the 18th of November, because we play our home games on Wednesdays. And then it was going to be the Wednesday this week. Then it got moved to the Tuesday because the FA said, what if it gets postponed?
Yeah.
So then it was going to be played on the Tuesday this week, which is the 24th. What happened? there was a bit of rain beforehand. So
a bit of rain.
So at 1 o'clock there was a pitch inspection. It hadn't rained on the Wednesday. The pitch was holding up fine. Well, I say fine. I wouldn't say fine. That was not the right word at all. But it was playable. So the referee's assistant went to the game and said it was okay. And then, of course, everybody at the club said, yeah, but have you seen the forecast? And the minute, within seconds of the referee departing the ground, the heavens opened. And by 5:30, Marine were on their team coach quite close. And the game had to be called off. But it's just a show of what happens in non-league football. There's nothing you can account for the weather turning like that. And it is frustrating when people have made journeys and things like that. And obviously the referees work like the players in non-league football and like the volunteers. Yeah. So that's just what we're left with, Ben. But I'm sure it won't be the first or last of those sort of instances that we see this season. There were some games off at the weekend. Obviously, a bit of snow around. I'm not sure what will happen. I'm no weatherman here. But, you know, like I say, it, if you can get your game on and win it and then play again, then, like I said, that's the run I'm talking about that teams in the division will rely on so much.
And so when is it going to get played, do you think? Is it moving to Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, just to confuse things even more, it was meant to be Thursday. There's been some complication with that. So it is Saturday now, and then the next round of the trophy for the winner will be on Tuesday.
Right.
The more devious of journalists would say, what happens if it gets called off on Saturday? And I'm sure our groundsman would not like to answer that one.
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because Kidsgrove Athletic, they're in with a chance against Marine, aren't they?
I think so. If you see our strike force at the moment, we've got Ant Malbon, who scored 20 goals this season, which is unreal. But aside from that, the players, I can't quote the exact figures, but Nick Wellacombe's done really well at the club. Again, it's almost that front four when we've got Joe Woolley and Jordan Johnson as well. And these are all players that are chipping in with goals. Defence has let us down at times this season, but we did keep a clean sheet and comfortably see off Sheffield 3-0 at the weekend. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Sheffield were flying really high, though, early in the season. So, we're at the end of the day, we can outscore anybody on our day. And Ant Malbon, obviously, is a player who could, you know, who is an extremely good player and it is just scoring goals for fun at the moment. And if we keep that up, it could be successful in the trophy. And I wouldn't rule out a success in the league because, like I say, it's wide open, those playoff spots still. But maybe the teams below will just be hoping that maybe Spalding and Shore Lane do ease off a little bit, and that would make it a bit more interesting for them as well, maybe leaving a few more spaces open.
Well, Robin Gray from the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM. How could people listen to the show if they're not?
It's every Thursday. We've had a bit of a break recently, but it's back this Thursday, so it'll be back for the foreseeable future. Every Thursday night, 7 p.m, Not FM. If you type in Not FM on the internet, that's KNOTFM, then you can find the show there on our website or an app or whatever. There's so many ways to listen. And like I say, plugs for, you'll hear the names of some, maybe your team, or if not, you'll hear Staffordshire teams especially.
Well, Robin Gray, thank you for joining us on this month's Division 1 show. And I think we're going to do it before Christmas, the next one. So I won't wish you a happy Christmas just yet.
Super. Thank you very much.
Nice one. Thank you, Robin. Later in the show, we'll be speaking to the chairman at Stocksbridge Park Steels and trying very hard not to mention Jamie Varda. And coming up very shortly, we'll be previewing this weekend's fixtures in the Division 1 North. But before that, we're speaking of Division 1 North, there's a big FA Trophy match taking place this weekend involving Spennymoor Town. They're travelling to Stourbridge, tough away trip that one. And joining me on the phone now, it's the manager at Spennymoor Town, it's Jason Ainsley. Hello Jason, how are you?
I'm fine, Ben, how are you?
I'm not too bad, mate. So,
good.
How are preparations going for this one? Because this one's a mammoth away trip, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, every report I get, I don't like opening my text messages, if I'm honest, because everyone I speak to, they're flying high, aren't they? You know, they went to Darlington and should have beat them comfortably. I was speaking to Martin the other day. He said they're the best side that they've played So we're under no illusions. It's going to be a really tough test. You know, they've got a big cup game the following week. I think it's at home to Eastleigh, so that, you know, there'll be players there wanting to bust a gut to get into that squad. But we've, you know, if we've got any aspirations of playing the next level, we've got to go to these places and perform, which is what we're going to hopefully do on Saturday.
Absolutely. I mean, when people talk about Spennymoor's always on the list of teams who are going to be contenders this season. And you proved it in the FA Cup, beating Blyth, essentially, that you can compete at the highest level.
Funny enough, we were talking about that in training. You know, we chucked down to all the way and they're doing well this year. We beat Blyth, or, you know, Blyth are a fantastic side, and we beat them. We're a team, I believe, that, you know, on our day, we can beat a lot of teams, but albeit on other sides, we don't seem to see games out, which was something that we need to learn from. And that's why we sort of brought in like the likes of Scott Kerr, travelling in from Leeds, for that experience on the pitch, to sort of manage games on the pitch without us having to get involved really from the sidelines, because it's all right shouting and balling on the pitch and passing instructions on, but you need them sort of leads on the pitch to sort of see games from the pitch side, and it's working well, because he's been superb since he came into the squad.
And we'll just touch upon the league at the moment. Obviously, we're going to discuss it with Simo shortly, but from your perspective, we've mentioned it a few times in this show about how Division 1 North, everyone thought it was going to be a bit more open this year with Darlington and Salford out of the way, but it's not proving the case. Northwich, Warrington, Glossop North End, Clitheroe, it's very tough this year, isn't it, in Division 1 North?
I think it's a real tough league. You know, I think any of them teams that you've just mentioned could probably compete quite easily in the next league. But you'd also have the top teams in that league. You know, I think it's the middle group from both leagues. I think that's where we both fit at the moment. But it's a real tough league to get out of. You know, we come close last year. You know, and on the day, I think in the playoff final, we're probably the better side against Darlington. But that's fine margins. And Bamber Bridge have obviously suffered the heartache 2 years on the trot. And they're not to be discounted, because we played them Saturday, and they're a cracking outfit as well. So there's some real tough games, and I think on the day anybody can beat anybody in the league. You've obviously, you know, Northwich are proven a real difficult side. I think what they do is they grind results out a lot of times. You know, they're a very good defensive record. You know, and the see games out 1-0, which is something that we, you know, the last couple of games against Glossop, you know, they scored a 93rd minute equaliser, and then Bamber Bridge were 2-1-0 up, 2-1 up, and didn't see the game out. So we're dropping sort of points, but we're in a good position at the moment, really. We've lost one game all season and haven't lost away from home. So you can look the positives and take the positives out of that, but we're probably 6 or 7 points behind where I think we possibly deserve to be.
And that's the thing, isn't it, with regards to Spennymoor's form. Like you say, not lost. We've only lost one game all season.
Yeah.
And it's the drawing that's the problem at the moment. And from an FC United perspective, I remember when we won the title last season in the Premier Division, we drew something stupid like the first 10 matches. And
might be an omen for
exactly.
us then.
As long as you're not getting beat, I think it's all right. It's just fine. It's like you say. It just needs to click, doesn't it?
It does. You know, you get judged over 44, whatever it is, 46 games a season. You know, you play the same teams twice, and you know the best teams will go up, and the teams who haven't, you know, like us last year, were probably not good enough at the end of the day. You know, because we didn't take enough points of the teams around us. You know, we got beat twice off Bamber Bridge this year. We took a point. We should have probably won on Saturday. We took, you know, points off Glossop, who were up the top. So we have improved, I think, as a team from last year. But the only problem is probably some of the other teams who were up there have obviously improved as well. So and that's the brutal fact of football. You see some teams at the moment who, you know, Scarborough, who are not doing so well. But it's always a difficult place to go. You know, and Bamber Bridge and Farsley Celtic, you know, so the teams even who haven't started really well will probably be up there somewhere around come May.
And just a quick mention about Spennymoor Town off the pitch. There was news a few weeks ago about expanding the ground. The club's growing, isn't it? It's in the northeast, and from an outsider's perspective, it looks like a proper thriving hotbed for non-league football at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, the chairman's, you know, he's put a real solid foundation at the club since he's been here. he never promises what he can never deliver, and that's the beauty of Spennymoor. I think it's a well-run club, and I think from the outside, I think looking in, people see that, and the amount of pats on the back we've had from other teams coming to the ground, you know, is really pleasing. But like you said, Ben, there by the end of start of next season, there'll be I think a 300-seat stadium stand going on the opposite side of to the main stand, and a cantilever stand going at the top, so it'll be a four-sided ground. And with our academy, which is only 2 minutes away from the ground, which is, you know, houses four full-size pitches, it's a perfect, you know, club really for the level we're at. We need to, you know, we've got a good fan base. We're getting 450s, 500s, taking two coaches away most games. You know, so excellent. It is a club on the up. But with that becomes expectations, isn't it? You know, and you've got to deal with that.
We've come full circle. Expectations, Stourbridge this weekend. What's your gut feeling? And at this point, you can play mind games. I'll let you.
No. I mean, you know, I'm all for, you know, I think I'm an honest person. It's very, very tough. Like you said, you know, it's a tough game at home. I think it's a different kettle of fish, but away from home, you know, 3.5 hours travel. But we're going to go there. And like the chairman said, when we played Evesham, you know, lads were saying, oh, can we have an overnight stop? Can we? And he said to me, you know, this is what the trips that you're going to have to put up with week in, week out if you want to, you know, aspire to get the next level. And he's right. You know, so we're making no excuses. You know, we're going to go there and hopefully Stourbridge will understand that Spennymoor are a good side. And by all accounts, you know, we know fine well that they are. But I believe that on our day, we certainly, you know, can beat them. But we're going to have 8 or 9 players playing to the maximum, and they're going to have a couple of lads off form because they've got some players who can hurt you. You know, the Cal Hall, he'll hurt you, and the other forwards, they're a good side, and they're in the you know, that the league form and the FA Cup form shows that.
Well, Jason, obviously I do the MPL show, I do Evo Stick Extra, and I can't actually pick sides who are competing each other in the league. But in this case, this is the Division One show, so I hope you win. On Saturday.
No, I appreciate that, but I won't tell anybody, all right?
Thank you for that, Jason. So that's
between me and you, mate.
That's Jason.
No, I appreciate your time.
That's Jason Ainsley there, manager at Spennymoor Town. Thanks for joining us this week on the Division One show. Much appreciated, mate.
Thanks, Ben.
So, very shortly, we'll be speaking to the chairman at Stocksbridge Park Steels, but let's stay with Division One North now, and... Well, there's only one place we can go to. It's the Sage, the official Sage expert of Division One North. It's Andrew Simpson from the Mid Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Really well. I think that's the best intro so far. Oh, I like Sage. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. So just to let everyone know, if you're listening from Stocksbridge, I've already pre-recorded the interview. We mentioned Jamie Vardy once, and actually it was your chairman. I wasn't going to mention it. But there you go. Anyway, moving on. Right, Andrew. So this month that we've just had, I think a lot of us were expecting Norwich Victoria to drop back a bit, and it's not happened. They're actually still on the top of the league. How have they done it?
Yeah, there's no sign of them dropping off just yet, is there? I mean, obviously, they're still juggling their commitments in various competitions. Obviously, most people will know now they'll be preparing for an FA Cup second round fixture. A week on Saturday. They've also been playing in the League Cup. So they've not actually played that many league games since we last spoke, but the ones that they have played, they've continued to pick up points. They've won 6 successive matches now in the league, and the latest of which was a 1-0 win against Brighouse at the weekend, in which they huffed and puffed a little bit, I think, but they still came out with the 3 points. And as we record this on Wednesday, if they go on to beat Mosley in a rearranged league game tonight, they will go clear again. Well, in fact, if they just avoid defeat, a draw will be enough to take them clear in first place ahead of Warrington. So they're still really well placed.
And on next week, we've got the MPL show, and we're hoping to have Jim Gannon in the room with us. I'm hoping to have someone from Stourbridge there and Jono from Salford. So I'm expecting a big ruck of some kind, or at least autographs and selfie pictures. But anyway, one of the questions that needs to be asked is how are they maintaining focus on League Cups and on the league and that kind of thing? How are they? It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is the cliche. I think winning is a habit. Obviously, confidence is sky high. They have that other cliche, the M word. They have momentum, so they're going out in games at the moment, and they believe they're going to beat anybody who's in front of them. I mean, I think, you know, I've the last couple of times I've been on, I've said, oh, they've not played or beaten anybody in the top eight yet. Well, they've kind of, you know, they've got rid of that statistic on Saturday because Brighouse went into that game six. They've dropped slightly after losing, but so they've now got a win on the board against somebody who is in the upper reaches of the table. So each time you kind of think, here's a challenge, here's somewhere that they might trip up, they're coming up with an answer. I mean, they've still got games in hand on the teams around them, and I think that is still a, you know, something that we'll have to always see how that pans out in terms of how they manage the heavier workload. I mean, fair play to Warrington, yes, because they're continuing to apply pressure. I mean, as good a run as Northwich have been, I mean, Warrington on a phenomenal run. They've won 10 of the last 11 in the league. And a little quirk, the only team that have beaten Warrington in the league this season is Burscough, home and away. So they're the only team that's managed to get one over on Sean Reid's men. So Warrington are kind of keeping Northwich honest as well at the moment. And they can't do any more than what they're doing, which is continuing to put wins on the board. But Warrington have got an FA Trophy game this weekend. So if Northwich do pick up the wins against Motley tonight and away at Prescott on Saturday, then it'd be interesting to see how Warrington react to that, because they'll suddenly, after this brilliant run, still find themselves 6 points adrift of top spot. So I'm sure Sean Reid will be hoping that that in the next 3 or 4 days that Vicks do drop some points. We'll have to see.
Now, at this moment, Glossop North End are currently third at time of recording. They're kind of being caught up, aren't they, by the likes of Clitheroe. Clitheroe have made a charge into the playoffs now. Spennymoor are there, and can't rule out Burscough either. It's awfully confusing because Clitheroe played one game less than Glossop North End. Spennymoor, who are a point off Clitheroe, have played 3 games less than Clitheroe. And yeah, Burscough, yeah, who are 4 points behind Spennymoor in sixth position, they played a game less than Spennymoor. So it's awfully confusing.
It is, and I think last time we did the monthly show, I said, the top four's nailed on, and at that point, Glossop were very much in kind of keeping pace with Northwich and Warrington. But what's happened since then is Glossop have suffered a little bit of a dip in form. They've not won any of the last four, and they've only won one of the past seven in the league, and that is why this little gap now has opened up between the top two and Glossop in third place. And Glossop really need to kind of get back on track. Although they've got a tricky game this weekend, they're playing Bamber Bridge at home, so it's going to be a difficult one to pick up form. But you're right, the others have kind of made the most of that. I mean, Clitheroe, I think we gave them a shout last time, but they do deserve a lot of love. They're the leading scorers in the division, average more than 2 goals a game. They've been on a great run, as you say. They've 5-1 beaten before the weekend, but they did lose against Farsley, so there's a little setback for them there. Spennymoor's an interesting one. They've only lost one league game, but yeah, they've developed drawitis and have drawn 4 of the past 8. Also, they've got the distraction of they're on a good run in the FA Trophy, which is why they've fallen behind a little bit in terms of fixtures. So I think, again, similar to North, it's depending on how far Spennymoor will go in the Trophy. Obviously, they're playing Stourbridge in the Trophy this weekend. That'll determine a little bit on kind of, you know, can they juggle that and keep a form up in the league? They don't want to fall too much further behind, do they, Spennymoor?
No, I suppose not. But we spoke to Jason Ainsley just then, and we mentioned the fact they did beat Blyth in the FA Cup. Yeah, I do remember that. And yeah, I know it was a couple of months ago now, but they did. And when it comes to drawitis, I mentioned the FC United example. I think everyone can remember how disappointed myself and Swampy were going into October, where we've drawn something like 10 games or something ridiculous.
Yes.
But it's better than getting beat. So,
no, he's dead right. They have only lost one league game, so it's just
waiting for it to click.
Still consider them to be title contenders, you know, up there with Warrington and Vicks. And I still would say Glossop for now, as you know, they're not completely out of it despite their little dip. But I think Spennymoor, even though they're not currently right behind the top two, I still think they're contenders to win the title. You mentioned Burscough, and you know, we've given them a lot of love. They just show no sign of stopping. I mean, they beat Bamber Bridge 1-0 last night. Nobody has scored more points than Burscough in the past eight games. They're absolutely flying, and also they had a great win in the FA Trophy as well. So they're just waiting now to find out who their opponents are going to be in the Trophy, because Kidsgrove and Marine have got to play a replay.
And they've got to be hopeful that they could beat either one of those sides. I know it's away from home, but they've got to be hopeful, haven't they?
Yeah, but I would say so. They've had some great results in knockout competitions this season. So they deserve an enormous amount of credit. And just behind them, just to give someone else an honourable mention, yes, who probably hasn't had one in a long time, is Ossett Albion.
I was going to mention him.
Yeah, great. I'm glad. I'm glad because, you know, we have mentioned Burscough and Clitheroe in the past and not Ossett. And they, I had a little look. They've won five of the past seven and have climbed up to seventh in the table. And they're playing Clitheroe this weekend. If they can carry that run on, they will be just outside the playoff positions going into Sunday. So, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have predicted that. So well done to them. They're in great nick, and it'd be interesting to see if they can carry that run on against Clitheroe this weekend.
A couple of honorary mentions as well. I'd like to mention Lancaster City. We should mention the fact that it was only a couple of shows ago that it was a bit iffy at Lancaster City, and they've now risen up the table to 11th. Trafford are doing well as well, although they have played a lot more games than anyone else. Bamber Bridge, it's not quite happened though, has it, since we last spoke?
No, indeed. And I mentioned them specifically last time because they'd started to show signs of life and had started to climb the table. But that you're dead right. That is that's very much stalled. And they now have not won any of their past four games. Just mentioned they lost to Burscough 1-0 last night. And they're going to Glossop this weekend. There's a Glossop team desperate to get back on track. So, I've consistently said previously Bamber Bridge have got time on their side. They have got time to turn it around. I still think they have. I don't think they've got any chance at all of winning the title now. But I think that that there's kind of a couple of spaces below Glossop in the table. I think that's where there's going to be this clutch of maybe 8 or 9 teams scrambling to finish fourth or fifth. And I would say Bamber Bridge definitely have a chance of being one of those. But yeah, the kind of little bit of turnaround in fortune that they had shown last time I was on, that's gone. And like I say, no winning four and a really difficult looking game this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see if they can get back on track again.
Now, speaking of getting back on track, it would be remiss of me not to mention Witten Albion at this moment. Witten, it's been a bit better the last time.
It's been a little bit better. There was a little gap that opened up between them and Prescott, so their position in the table's not changed. They have won three of the past four in all competitions, and people might sniff and say, oh yeah, one of them was a League Cup, no one cares. One of them was a local cup competition, no one cares. But I think when you've been in the position that they're in, which is complete free fall, frankly, that just to kind of stop the rot, get a couple of wins on the board, I think you can see. I mean, they had a great win at Trafford on Saturday. You mentioned that Trafford had been on a good run themselves, and Witten went there and won at the weekend. That's been a big confidence boost to them. Carl McCauley has had an unbelievably difficult task since he came in, because he's had to manage a cut in the wage bill, frankly. He's had to manage that, and it's been a difficult task for him. It's not given him any wriggle room to bring anybody in, because he's been trying to move people out. He's had to wheel and deal a little bit in the loan market, so he's got 4 or 5 lads in from higher ranked clubs at the moment to try and just see them through this sticky period. So it's been really tough for him, and he's done well to juggle things. They're playing Scarborough this weekend, which is Scarborough and Witten's path has been quite similar. They're two teams that had quite high ambitions at the start of the season, and it's just really not happened. So if Witten can get another win on the board against a struggling Scarborough team on Saturday, then it will start to feel and look a lot different for them. That 3 points did put a little bit of distance between them and the relegation zone. I mean, hesitate to say Witten are in a relegation battle, but that 3 points on Saturday has proved massive in terms of making it a little bit of a cushion between them and the bottom. I don't think they'll get dragged down. But, I mean, the challenge for Witten now is they need to define what is going to be a good season for them. I mean, like I said, they started off wanting to finish in the top five. I don't think that's a realistic possibility now. So how do they define a good season? Is it stability? Is it not getting relegated? Is it finishing in the top 10? And that's a conversation that's kind of going out, playing out at the club at the moment. To be honest, I don't think they're kind of looking that long term. It's very much a week-to-week thing at the moment. Can they piece together a win here and a win there? So keep an eye on them to see if Carl can continue to turn things around. But it's ended up being, I think, an even bigger job than perhaps he realised when he came in.
And lastly, now, a while ago in the MPL show, we had a pre-production drink where before we went on air, we had a discussion. And one of the things that we said was basically when covering Drawlsden in the Northern Premier League Premier Division, there's going to have to be a point where we stop discussing them, because it's rubbing it in a bit more, and there's no nice things we can say. So that came about December, January time from memory. Now, with new Mills, it's looking very bleak.
What do you do at new? I mean, you still hesitate now to say the season's over in November, and it remains, what, I have a look at the table, they're 15 points adrift of third bottom. That's a fair old distance, but they've still only played 18 games, but there's just no sign of any hope, is there? There's not even kind of, oh, they almost picked up that first win there, or it's just, you know, 9 goals scored in 18 games, 67 conceded. It's just eye-watering, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, that season that Drawsden were struggling, you kind of, it got to a point where people were queuing up to play them. And the reason it sticks out for me is that Witten were the unfortunate ones that went to Drawsden on a horrible rainy Saturday afternoon, and it was one of those, oh, you know, everyone's queuing up to play Drawsden, and there's 3 points in the bag, and they did lose. They lost 4-3, I remember it vividly. And someone is going to lose to New Mills eventually. And I was having a look at the fixture list this morning, and oh, look who's playing them in a week's time.
No.
It's Witten Albion.
No.
So I really hope that that's, you know, let's see what happens. But no, I think, I don't know, what do you do? Do you start looking and building towards next season in North West Counties League? That would seem quite defeatist at this moment in time. But
it might be the wise. It might be the wise option, because North West Counties is a nightmare to get out of.
It is, and you want to try and position yourselves as best as possible to have a decent fist of getting out of it. I think that's a really good point. So I don't know. I do think it is all over. But you know, I'm sure no new Mills won't want to admit or say that. But I just cannot see how they get themselves out of it.
And on that cheery note, no, we'll
sorry.
Just to mention as well, the relegation battle isn't confined just to New Mills, although it might be in the AGM Cup in July. But Harrogate Railway Athletic currently hold that second from bottom spot. They're 2 points from Radcliffe Borough, who've been dragged into it, mainly because of Radcliffe Borough's cup exploits, I'm going to suggest.
I agree. Yeah, I think the one who needs to be worried at the moment is Ossett Town.
Right.
They've not won any of the last 9 games. The only team in the league with the worst record in the form table is New Mills. So they've only scored 16 goals. So you can see why they're down there. So I think they are the ones that probably need to worry more than the other teams you've mentioned. And little shout to Farsley, who have put back to back wins together, and they've moved out of the bottom two, which is why Harrogate have fallen into it. So I feel a bit bad. We kind of patronised Farsley and said, you know, they're far too good for the position that they are in the table, but then their results never kind of started to turn. So maybe finally those couple of wins they've got on the board, they can start to climb the table now, and they can kindly prove us right that they were far too good to be in that position near the bottom.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thanks for joining us on the Division 1 show this month. And just a quick mention, there's a big FA Trophy match, something or other, I've heard, in your neck of the woods. How can Northwich Victoria fans keep abreast of that development in that game, and also all things Witten Albion as well?
Yeah, we'll be building up to that after the weekend, of course, when Victor have got their latest league games out of the way. You can follow me on Twitter at @Simo_on_sports, or obviously northwichguardian.co.uk.
Andrew Simpson, thank you. And will we see you before Christmas? Yeah, we'll have you on before Christmas. Yes, I think so.
Good man. Thank you.
Nice one, mate, and all the best. Let's draw our eyes back to Division 1 South now and to some important FA Trophy matches taking place this weekend. This one is a biggie. It's North Ferriby United against Stocksbridge Park Steels. And we're now joined by the chairman at Stocksbridge. It's Alan Bethel. Hello, Alan. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, it's not one of my best mornings, but carry on.
Okay. Right. We'll hopefully cheer you up with this one. Is everyone excited about this weekend's match at North Ferriby at the club?
Well, I suppose we've known North Ferriby probably for 20 years. We've had many good matches against North Ferriby when we're in the same division. Obviously, things have changed now by them getting, let's say, some injection of funds from a millionaire, and obviously we're still a chartered standard development club, or local club, a lot different to people who've got lots and lots of money. And obviously they're favourites, because obviously they still hold the trophy and they're not one to let go. And knowing the manager, Billy Heath, he'll not want to let go lightly. It'll be even, last time we saw Billy Heath, we beat them 7-0, and for the first time in my 20 years knowing Billy, he was speechless, but I'm sure he'll not be speechless on Saturday.
You say North Ferriby are favourites, but throughout your FA Trophy run this season, you've been underdogs. I mean, it started off with Northwich Victoria, who are tearing through Division 1 North and conference sides in the FA Cup, and then beating Ilkeston in the last round. So, obviously, there's something going on there at Stocksbridge.
Obviously, we had a very good start, and probably too good a start, and then we got into a situation where one or two injuries and one thing and another. We haven't got a big squad. So we were all getting a bit dejected, having done so well for a start-off and won the team of the month, etc. And then I went to Northwich. My son lives very near Northwich. And I said to all the family, I'll be back in 3/4 of an hour. and I arrived back at about 6 o'clock at night. And what I saw there was, I've seen repeated in the last three or four matches, we have changed shape. We have got two new centre forwards, and everybody seems to believe themselves. It goes up and down, doesn't it, in football? You get on a run, and then you're a lot more confident. And so, yeah, we are playing a little bit better. But obviously, I saw last week's result when Billy's team beat Flight 3-0, and Flight obviously is run by another millionaire. And therefore, they've got a very, very good team. So to beat Flight 3-0, they must be a very good side. So, yeah, we're looking forward to go to Ferriby on Saturday in a way that says, well, I think we are playing better. We've got to give a good show. But it's a tough task, especially when they're holders of this trophy. And Billy Heath didn't want to give out away, and he'll not want to give that trophy back.
Just to cover off the league form momentarily, obviously at this moment, mid-table, you did have a very good start in the early weeks of the season. But saying that, it's only 5 points to the playoff positions where Market Drayton Town is at the moment, and you've got 4 games in hand over Market Drayton Town, 6 games in hand over Daventry, 2 games in hand over everyone else. So it's very well poised for Stocksbridge. Is the expectation this season and the hope to make the playoffs and get promoted?
Yeah, it's an obvious question.
Exactly.
in the sense that we can read the league tables. I think our problem's going to be the number of people we can afford to pay. Once we get, obviously, we're 4 and 5 games behind people now. So it'll be, we won't be able to afford a big squad. And obviously, we're hoping we can move a little bit further up that league once we start playing league matches. But it'll be a long slog through the winter. And it's whether what we can afford, how many spare players we can afford to pay and not play.
Right. So that's that.
But things are looking up slightly for Stocksbridge. I mean, we went down, and we were glad to go down. Obviously, having lost Jamie Vardy, who took us up, and the team began to fall apart in the sense that, again, we couldn't afford the adequate money for the players, what the players wanted. So, yeah, we bottomed, we went down. A lot of people moaned. I lost some committee men. But we couldn't afford to keep losing 18 to 20 grand a year. And there was no way we were going to do that. So we've stabilised. We've got adequate finance for this year and next year. So I'm not relaxed, but yeah, things are looking slightly better.
It's an interesting insight that, Alan, because on the NPL show we always go on about, oh, they've got games in hand and that kind of thing. But that's an interesting angle, that the finance side, which I'm not too sure anyone's actually ever said before on this show. So thank you for bringing that to the table, because that's very interesting. I did say to you last night when I asked you to come on the show, I wasn't going to mention Jamie Vardy, but you mentioned Jamie Vardy. So there you go.
Well, Jamie Vardy was a big part of our, as you go up and down, we've been quite a stable club. We entered the league in the Northern Premier League in 1996, first game at Gretna. And of course, Gretna got a millionaire and they went bust. So we are careful at Stocksbridge, and we try and plod forward rather than run forward. Because if you run forward too fast, you finish up running backwards. And I don't like running backwards. our club is based on a solid finance base, and if we can't afford it, we don't have it. And we always pay, and we only won for quite a few miles radius from Stocksbridge, who have not cut their budget mid-season. And we'll never do that.
Well, Alan, I wish you all the best this weekend. What's your gut feeling? Are you going to jinx it and say they're going to win?
I think it will be a very difficult afternoon. Okay.
Thank you, Alan. That's Alan Bethel there, chairman at Stocksbridge Park Steels. We wish you all the best of luck going into this match this weekend, and we hope you win.
Okay, Ben. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. And that, dear listener, is the end of this month's show. A big thank you to all my guests this week. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show. And, of course, you can get involved with the banter on the NPL Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it for the Evo Stick Division 1 show for this month. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.